Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an AP investigation into the disappearance of an American in Iran who we now learn was working for an amateurish off-the-book CIA operation. A veteran CIA operations officer who served in Iraq, Iran, and Lebanon, Robert Baer, joins us to shed light on the fate of Robert Levinson, a former DEA and FBI agent who went missing on a business trip in 2007 on Kish Island, an Iranian resort on the Persian Gulf, where it turns out he was working undercover on a rogue CIA mission. Then we'll get an update on the Affordable Care Act in the final weeks before January the 1st deadline, when the most important consumer protections in Obamacare go into effect. Wendell Potter, a former insurance company insider who was the chief corporate spokesman for Cigna and Humana and now is a senior analyst on healthcare at the Center for Public Integrity, joins us to discuss his new book, Obamacare, What's in It for Me? What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act. Then finally, we'll speak with Jessica Levinson, a professor at Loyola Law School who focuses on election law, campaign finance, and ethics. She joins us to discuss her article at Reuters, Thanks to Congressional Inaction, Seeking Clarity from the IRS is No Joke. We'll also talk about the failure of Congress and the IRS to close loopholes that allow tax-exempt vehicles such as 501c4s that are supposed to be used for social welfare to be a conduit for billionaires to flood our politics with unlimited money without attribution to buy our elections in the name of charity. Joining us now is Robert Baer, a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Iraq and Lebanon. He is now an intelligence analyst at CNN and is also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Baer.
Great to be back.
And what do you make of this off-the-books operation that has now been revealed by an AP investigation? Apparently the family of this missing former DEA and FBI agent, Robert Levinson, were paid off substantially to keep quiet. Clearly, they haven't. I imagine they're the source for ultimately bringing it out into the open. But following revelations about what happened in Moscow with a very amateurish CIA operation there, and the very idea that the analytical division could be running operations is in itself pretty bizarre. So as a former operations operative, what do you make of it?
Well, I mean, it's clearly there's too much money and too little discipline. I mean, this is just – I can't tell you how bad the tradecraft is, this Kish thing. I mean, that island is controlled by Iranian intelligence. Levinson was a well-known public former FBI agent. You know, what did he have on his computer? And he met this this American, Salah Adin. He goes by that name. He killed an Iranian dissident in 1980 in Maryland. So, I mean, it was just amateur hour from beginning to end. And there's nobody in this whole story who's not guilty, including the CIA, the Levinson family, and Bob Levinson. I mean, he didn't know anything about Iran. He shouldn't have gone there. You know, the Iranians are unpredictable, and when it comes to spies, they're not very pleasant. So, but mainly, I mean, what was the CIA having this guy in contract for? I think it was $120,000 to do what? I realize he was doing organized crime, but the fact that there was no control in the Directorate of Intelligence over this. And what did these people know about Iran either? Apparently nothing. You know, and they did this with a wink and a nod, you know, like, oh, well, you're not going to actually be paid for this trip, but when you come back, we'll have some money for you. We'll up this contract. I just don't – it's a tragic story. It's also just a great act of folly.
Well, you mentioned Dawood Saladin, who is – that's the name that he took. He's an American Baptist convert to Islam who in 1980 killed an Iranian dissident who actually worked for the Shah in the Shah's regime, but right on the doorstep posing as a mailman. And it's hard to believe that this guy who ends up in Iran is not – in some way connected to Iranian intelligence, right? I mean,
He has to be. I went to, I think it was a year before Levinson. I went to Iran, and I went openly as a former CIA officer and with a British TV crew. I anchored a film there, and they sort of knew who I was. And the fixers offered, you know, let me meet this guy Salahi. I had absolutely no reason to, and turned it down. But you know, even then, it sounded like bait to me. And yes, he does report to Iranian intelligence. He was working for them in 1980 on this assassination. He's there at their sufferance. And he after meeting Levinson in Kish, he clearly went back to Tehran or in Kish and said, look, this guy is asking strange questions. And it was more than about cigarette smuggling, which was supposedly his cover. It was the amateur hour. And, you know, someone has really got to, you know, the CIA is in trouble. You know, you bring up Moscow, you bring up this last week or this week with the drone attack on the wedding party. You know, this is doing us damage, you know, not getting this right. Espionage is not that hard if you follow certain rules and it's worthwhile. But when you give the intelligence community $80 billion a year and say, go spend it, this is what you get.
So the woman that authorized these, Anne Jablonski, she apparently was an expert on organized crime, right? She did a lot of high-level briefings. She was apparently fairly well-known. Why would somebody that had a pretty good record appear to be this amateurish?
Well, I mean, she's not trained in operations. I mean, you know, it takes a couple of years to learn this stuff, to, you know, just get the basics of it about crossing borders. And not only that, is that for every place in the world, the CIA has a station. Obviously, it doesn't have one in Iran, but it's got people who takes care of it. They know what the border crossings are like. They know what sort of checks. They know about the computers. And she never went to these people. She just assumed that, well, Levinson said, hey, I can go in. You don't need a visa. And she said, fine. But, she didn't know anything about Iran. When is the last time a CIA person's even been to Iran? I guarantee you nobody serving the CIA now, today, has ever been there.
Well, they may not come out. I mean, that's a good reason, right?
Well, there's a good reason they don't go in because it's not worth it.
Right.
I mean, it's just not worth it. And people with better judgment preside over these these decisions. But the fact is that somebody let the Director of Intelligence hire a contractor to go on trips and actively collect intelligence, which should be the purview of people who do it for a living. And even they don't do it that well. But when the amateurs get involved in that, your disaster is sure to follow.
Again, I'm speaking with Robert Baer, a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Iraq and Lebanon. He's now an intelligence analyst at CNN and is also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. Now, the fact that he met with this guy that had assassinated an Iranian official in Maryland, an American convert to Islam who obviously was involved with the IRGC and Iranian intelligence, that in itself is completely bizarre, why he would meet with that guy. It makes his fate or his disappearance unsurprising. But what about these connections to Baluchistan? I mean, it sounds – that island, by the way, isn't that a conduit for all kinds of smuggling throughout the Gulf? I mean, everybody that's anybody does their dirty work there, doesn't it? So
it's also the IRGC intelligence keeps training bases down there. Oddly enough, I'm told that they position them next to the hotels, assuming that we're not – when the bombing, if it should ever come – we're not going to bomb the hotels. But the point is, I think, you know, this is pure speculation because I don't think anybody knows what happened to him. At some point, the Iranians said, wait a minute, this guy just isn't worth it. You know, it's the middle of the Iraq war. You know, do we need this? He's not really truly a spy. This is a dumb decision on their part. Let's just hand him off to some radical group. It didn't look like he, from the pictures, he was in an Iranian prison. And at that point, they lost control of him. It's speculation, but it's possible. And this is why it's so unfortunate that this has become a public issue. If I'd had my druthers, I would have gone to the Iranians and say, all right, now it's time to find Levinson, and let's do this secretly. We're going to send a couple FBI agents out to Tehran, and we're going to retrace this. Let's just be big boys about this. That's going to be very hard now. And more than that, you know, this is going to undermine any efforts for detente with Iran. You know, clearly the Iranians had a hand in this. And this is going to feed the neocons on the Hill saying, look, we can't trust these guys. They won't come, you know, clean with this. And we really should be getting on to the nuclear issue and not be sidetracked by this. So,
right. Well, I guess that's what Rouhani, basically, the new leader, said he doesn't know anything about it. And they've traced the videotape, the 2010 videotape of Levinson to a Pakistani internet cafe. So that's the best lead they have, which would – God knows what that tells you. But again, what's going on with the intelligence committees themselves? I mean, everybody's reeling, aren't they, from the Snowden leaks? I mean, you've got this Sunday's New York Times front page story by Mark Mazzetti. It's pretty overwhelming, isn't it?
Ian, I think it's just damning. You know, and it goes back to the contractors. You know, look, we've spent billions and billions of dollars on the National Security Agency, and most of this stuff, the collection is unnecessary, you know, like in gaming and the rest of. But the point is, it was a contractor who spilled all this information out there, and now apparently his office can't even tell what he downloaded. I mean, that is just basic on an intelligence computer. That you keep track of who's downloading what, and National Security Agency didn't do that. You know, too many people, too little to do, too much corporate interests getting in the middle of intelligence, out to make a profit rather than accomplish the mission. And you have to wonder about Congress. I mean, nobody's been fired over the NSA leaks that I've seen, or you know, publicly held accountable. You know, and you know, CIA was right to fire these two analysts over Levinson. So you know, you just have to get the genie back in the bottle, and I'm not sure how you do that.
But in terms of the Snowden affair, the New York Times article on Sunday, said, I don't know who it was, and I can't remember now who it was. Somebody senior in the NSA was floating the idea that maybe they should give Snowden amnesty so that he can come back and tell them what the hell he's got.
You know, I think it's all too late for that, you know.
Of course.
You know, it's just, I'm sorry, you know, it's just a comedy hour, you know.
Right.
And this is all too serious. We just, you know, we've spent too much money on the military, too much money on the intelligence committees, all under this cloud of fear from 9/11. It was a tragedy, but we didn't approach it smartly. And that's, you know, going back to Levinson. That's why he had this giant contract, which was frankly unnecessary. The CIA doesn't need to be collecting information on organized crime. It's about terrorism, counterintelligence, the basics, and that's what you need. And not worrying about, you know, what's happening in, you know, in Panama with the mafia or something. Let the FBI do that.
Right. Well, actually, I don't know whether you ever worked with Larry Johnson in the CIA, but He was down in Panama there for a while working on cigarette smuggling. I mean, but he was out of the agency at that point, you know. So tell me, though, just to follow up on our previous conversations about Snowden, has anything more come out, do you think, about the possibility that the whole Snowden affair has been a classic textbook Russian intelligence operation? I talked to Paul Pillar and I've talked to a few people. I talked to the Time magazine reporter in Moscow who has good intelligent contact with Russian intelligence, and I asked him, and he emailed me back saying his editor told him not to talk to me. So I've sort of drawn a blank here. But I tell you, everything that comes out, and only 1% of this, what Snowden took, has come out so far. 90% of it seems to be damaging to U.S. foreign policy and to America's alliances. Not very much of it relates to what Snowden said he took the material for in the first place, which was to alert the American people to its own government's abuses of their privacy.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, he hasn't pinpointed where those abuses occurred. You know, was the National Security Agency running through the metadata of New York Times reporters? I don't know if they were. There's that suspicion. But Snowden has not brought that out. You're right. He's just done damage to our relations. And we don't know what he downloaded about code breaking, traditional code breaking. You know, if he were working for the Russians, would the Russians want that out? You know, would they, you know, want people to change codes? I don't know. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing, as a former professional, I would want to know. You know, the really juicy counterintelligence stuff. Did he leak that? And I just don't know what he had access to. You know, there's some theories in the intelligence community that this is all a giant, laughingly, they say it's all a giant plot to redo all our technologies or put more money into it, you know, having compromised all this other stuff. But, you know, it's all left to speculation, and I don't think the government knows. Otherwise, we would have seen some sort of leak by now.
Well, we do know, though, that from the initial government inquiries where they tried to look into Snowden's entire record when he was in Geneva working undercover for the U.S. Information Agency at the CIA, where he was the IT guy, that he was caught trying to break into the Directorate of Operations computers, which is a pretty rash thing to do. It's not the kind of thing you do on your own or for any, you know, personal curiosity. It would seem to be something that maybe you were doing because somebody wanted you to do it, but
absolutely. I mean, what happened in Geneva? Why would you want to get in the Directorate of Operations computers, which you can't get into because they're monitored, you know, internally? I mean, there's a record of it, unlike the National Security Agency. And what ideological motivations did he have to look into Geneva's computers? It's not something Geneva is not. You know, it's not a normal place where you try to get into those computers. No covert action. There's not much happens there. And the question is, was he being directed to do this? And as a former spook, I would say that's a lot of red flags, and it needs to be looked at. But if this was really a high-level, you know, tightly held Russian operation, it may take years for us to find to confirm this, or it may be what people say it is. He's a whistleblower. We just don't know yet.
Right. Well, we know that there was whatever the red flag didn't go very far, or somehow didn't get in. Didn't stop Snowden from getting a job at the NSA and getting access to the NSA's crown jewels.
Well, when you have people doing security clearances that are getting paid minimum wage or about that. You know, they're just rushed through these things. I mean, they're really, truly USIS, the company that did it. Just they don't pay their people anything, and they're it's based on numbers. Again, it goes back to corporate greed.
So, Robert Baer, I thank you for joining us, we'll obviously stay in touch. And I don't know what we can say more about Levinson. It looks like. I mean, my sense is he's already dead, isn't he? Would that be your guess?
I would, you know, that's the best bet is he's dead. His health was bad. And no one wants to admit it. I don't think the government knows, but that's the most likely explanation. But again, we haven't seen the last of this.
Well, I thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Baer, who's a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Iraq and Lebanon. He's now an intelligence analyst at CNN. He's also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife, True Life Spy Story. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back getting an update on the Affordable Care Act in this critical month as January 1st approaches.